In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today is the first Sunday of the month of Tut, which is the first month in the Coptic year. And we read the passage that was read to us, the church chose for us today, is the passage of the choosing of John the Baptist and why God the Father chose John the Baptist to be the forerunner and his wisdom in doing so to call the people to repentance. But we see very clearly from this, the Lord is telling them that he sent them John the Baptist in an ascetic way, in a humble way, and they said he has a demon. And then when the Son of Man, who was Christ, was sent to him, they didn't accept him and said that he was a friend of tax collectors and sinners. So I think this kind of relates to what we began to speak about last week, about testing all things. We see a group, two groups of people here, the Pharisees who rejected the will of God for themselves because they didn't test, they didn't really look at Christ objectively, but they had a different agenda in their heart, whereas some of the people looked at Christ and followed him. As we mentioned last week, it's important for us to test all things. And we said that, you know, as we begin, you know, this new year and we're set goals for ourselves, it's important for us to sit with ourselves and consider the method of my testing, the filter, as I mentioned last week, by which everything passes through, whether it be our friends, co-workers, situations, circumstances, everything has to pass through this filter. And we said it was important for it to pass through this filter or to test all things because at the end of the day, there is a true force of wickedness that is working against us. And we said that Satan's objective is to consume us, to bring us to death. As we said, all sin leads to death. And deception is his trademark. We said that there is a standard, or there must be a standard for us to test, or else, you know, it becomes very subjective, but there has to be a test by which we measure everything. And we said that everything qualifies for testing. So today, God willing, we'll speak about the tools that God gave us to test things in our life. And also we'll speak about two opponents of sound reason or sound testing. And the last one, can I provide myself a safe haven in testing all things? The tools of measurement. The first tool of measurement that God has given us and created us with was the gift of reason. The gift of reason, using our mind to evaluate, you know, things reasonably. And the prophet Isaiah, was his feast day today, he says to us in the first chapter, on the mouth of God, he says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow, and though they're red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So the first thing he says is, come, let's reason together. God wants us to use this reason to come to the faith and to for us to believe the faith and enact the faith. But it begins with the mind. Does it sound reasonable? You listen maybe to some of the arguments of the atheists and so on. There are a lot of points in which it doesn't sound reasonable. And if we take this belief that there is no God to the end, we get anarchy and chaos. Or the order that we see in nature says contrary to this. So it's not reasonable. So the first thing he says is use our reason. And also, St. Paul was very good at this when he went to Athens once. And he saw the people there, they were pagan. So, you know, he felt bad for them. So he went into Athens. And he saw the philosophers there who were interested in hearing new ideas. And it says that what? Therefore he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshippers and the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. So he reasoned with them. And then he tells them he saw an altar. And on the altar it said, to the unknown God. And then from this moment he says, okay, let me tell you about the God that you don't know. So he reasoned with them based on what they knew and what they understood. He used his gift of reason to persuade them and to show them the light. Christ tried to do the same thing. with the scribes and Pharisees when they accused him of casting out demons by Beelzebub, or the leader of the demons, he used reason and said, okay, how can Beelzebub, or the leader of the demons, cast out demons by the leader of the demons? Every kingdom wants their kingdom to be established. It's just like a king who goes and kills his own soldiers. How would I succeed in a war if I'm killing my own soldiers? So a house divided against itself can't stand. So he uses simple reason with them to come to the conclusion that, you know, what their belief is unreasonable. So the first gift that God gives us, or the tool he gives us to test all things, is the gift of reason. The second one is our conscience. The conscience, we have that little voice that tells us what you're doing is wrong, don't do this, and tries to get us to go in the right way. He actually, Christ used this when he was appealing to those who were going to stone the woman who was caught in adultery. If you remember the story, they caught her and brought her before the Lord and wanted him to judge, so that way they can accuse him. If he says stone her, then he's merciless. But he says don't stone her, then he doesn't abide by the law of Moses. So either way, they're going to find fault with him, right? So they bring her in, and then he writes some things on the ground, and then the men left, and they left their stone, and then he told the woman, he told them, he who is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. So they all left their stones, and they left. The tradition tells, and the fathers tell us, that he was writing the Ten Commandments on the ground. So as they are ready to judge her and stone her, they saw the Ten Commandments, and maybe honor your father and mother. Some of them didn't do that. You know, honor the day of the Lord. Some of them didn't do that. So they said, okay, I'm going to stone this woman, and these commandments that are written here, I myself aren't abiding by them. So he appealed to their conscience. He didn't say a word of rebuke to them, but he just wrote for them the commandments. And when they saw it, their conscience rebuked them. And that's why it says what? Those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. So their conscience rebuked them. So sometimes, you know, we need reason to test things, and sometimes just our conscience, we need to use our conscience or listen to our conscience when it rebukes us and tries to correct us. The second tool of measure, or the third tool of measure that God gives us, is Scripture. St. Paul tells his disciple Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. See how many things that Scripture is useful for? It's useful for doctrine. It's based doctrine off. It's profitable for reproof, for correcting someone. It's proof for correction in one's own life, instruction in righteousness, how to live a godly and righteous life. All of these things. So Scripture is one of the primary sources we should have to filter things. Whenever we're confused, what decision should I make? Ask ourselves, what does Scripture say about this matter? Right? And even if maybe Scripture doesn't say exactly word for word, what does the Spirit of Scripture say about it? There's nothing that we will encounter in our life that we can't look at the Spirit of the Scripture and the Spirit of the Church and not come to the correct conclusion. St. Paul, again, and happens to be in the same chapter in 17, he commended the people of Berea. When he went to preach to them, he said to them what? So he preached to them, but what did they do was the important thing afterwards. It says in Thessalonica, it says, they were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they received the word with all readiness. So when St. Paul preached in Berea, they received the word in all readiness. But did they just receive it, you know, and said, okay, he said some good words and that's it? What did they do afterwards? It says, and search the Scripture daily to find out whether these things were so. So they listened to St. Paul reason with them from the Old Testament about how Christ is the Messiah and he is the Savior. So when they went home, they did what? They went and did their homework.
Right? They searched the scriptures daily to see whether the things he was saying were true. How many of us, when we hear the readings, for example, in the liturgy, we go home and think about these things? If I have a question as I'm reading scripture, how many of us go and research to find out the answer to this? Or do we say, okay, it's confusing, this isn't any benefit to me, and let's not read this part of the Bible? But they search the scriptures daily. So scripture is one of the primary tools to measure and to test all things. The fourth one, and if we consider maybe one of the things that we most often regret and contemplate on are our choices. We always think about, hell, if I do this thing, what's going to be the result? If I make this choice, what's going to be the result? And maybe the things we most frequently regret are our choices. I wish I didn't do this. I wish I didn't do that. God gives us history as another way to test all things. We can often look at history and say, this person did so and so, and this was the result. You know, just like if you're a student in a class and you find one of the other students is disruptive and the teacher dismisses him from the class, and then, you know, he gets detention or so on. What do we learn as fellow students? That when I disrupt the class, the same thing will happen to me, right? So we learn from the experiences and we learn from history. You know, if you look at the book, for example, the Sayings of the Desert Fathers, what is this? It's just a compilation of those sayings and those experiences of those men and women in history that can provide us with valuable information in our spiritual life, in our, you know, battle. So reading the sayings of the church and of the church fathers and of their stories provide us with the experience of history, so we don't have to reinvent the wheel in our spiritual life. If we consider, for example, the life of David, what could we learn from him? We can learn from David that being in the wrong place at the wrong time can get us in trouble, right? David should have been out to battle with his men, but rather than being out to battle, he was on his rooftop just hanging out, right? And then he fell into sin, and then one sin led to another. He ended up committing murder and adultery. So being in the wrong place at the wrong time can get us in trouble. Being out late at night, where Friday night or whatnot, where the drunkards are out, maybe it can get us in trouble, being at the wrong place at the wrong time, right? So we have to be cautious of trying to be in the right place, rather the wrong place, the wrong time. What can we learn from Cain? Cain didn't heed wise counsel. He didn't heed the warning of God, right? And though God spoke with him very clearly, don't do this, and if you do, if you come and offer the right sacrifice, I will accept you. But he didn't heed the wise counsel. He did what was in his mind, regardless of what any spiritual advisor or God himself told him. You can learn this from him. Solomon. We can learn that smarts aren't everything, right? Although he was extremely brilliant and wise, but that's not it, right? His heart was still fooled into marrying 1,000 wives, right? And they turned his heart away from God. So it's not about being smart, okay? Using the smarts then to glorify God and to witness to him. We can learn many things from our forefathers. So God gave us history as another tool. Lastly, he gave us counsel. He gave us counsel. Maybe the prior four, we can do all of these by ourselves. We can look at history by ourselves. We can look at scripture by ourselves. We can reason by ourselves. But the fifth one is about counsel, where I go to someone else. I seek the advice of another. An author once said, only a fool learns from his own mistakes, but the wise man learns from the mistakes of others. So when I seek counsel, I seek the wisdom and I seek experiences of those who preceded me or somebody maybe who has experience in this. This is very common in our practice in our education. You know, if I want an advisor, I go to somebody in the field that I want to study. If I'm studying, trying to get a PhD in engineering, for example, my advisor would be somebody who is a professor in this form of engineering that I'm pursuing. I'm not going to go get a professor of pharmacy to be my advisor in engineering. It doesn't make any sense, right? So getting counsel from those who have experience in the field is very important. Of course, maybe in the field of life, we have our parents who preceded us by 20 and 30 years, maybe more. They have the experience of life, listening to them, getting what the knowledge and picking their brain about different things. And this happens all through life, even after you get married. You pick their brain. Again, they lived longer than you and they have the experience, right? Our teachers and so on, and Sunday school teachers and so on. The wise Solomon tells us, he who disdains instruction despises his own soul, but he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. So the person who hates or disdains instruction, he doesn't like his own soul. He despises his own soul because this instruction is good for my soul. And then he says, he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. So the one who listens to the rebuke will gain understanding. Doesn't mean that every advice that somebody gives you, you have to listen to. But at least you should consider. Maybe there'll be a valuable piece of information that they will give you that you may have not known before. That's why maybe one of the things that, you know, is maybe a really bad habit is saying, I know, I know, I know. Yes, we might know one or two things, but can we really say that we know everything and we've considered all things? I think not. As they say, two heads are better than one. So what are the opponents to sound reasoning? Two really quick. Number one is the ego. The ego. I can't give myself or tell myself that I'm mistaken or that I'm wrong. So how can I, you know, how can I be inhibited from making a good sound test is by saying, I know everything and I don't need help from anybody. I'm sufficient. Of course, we know this is what happened with Samson. With Samson, his parents told him, don't take anyone from outside of the Jews. But he did anyways. And then she ended up deceiving him and making him a laughingstock among his enemies because he didn't listen to the warning of his parents. And he thought that I'm a strong man, I can overcome anybody, and I can do things on my own. Then he was humiliated. The second opponent to this testing or sound testing is the phrase that we most often abuse, do not judge. Do not judge. We've heard this so many times. Anytime somebody, you know, doesn't want you to look at them or criticize them, they say, don't judge me. Don't judge me. And this can be very dangerous because it skews what scripture tells us about judging, right? When the Lord says, yes, do not judge, this is like do not condemn somebody and do not take maybe one quality and make a complete evaluation of a person because of one thing. This is judging them. But also in scripture, it tells us to judge. It instructs us to judge. So I'd like to speak really briefly about when is it that we are supposed to judge? Because if we use this phrase, don't judge me, and it's used and abused by believers and non-believers alike, then we can run into trouble. First, those who are in positions of responsibility are told and commanded by God to judge. For example, parents, he says, do not withhold, Proverbs says, do not withhold instruction from a child. For if you should strike him with a rod, he would not die. For you shall strike him with a rod and deliver his soul from death. It's not saying here to hit our children, but he's saying here, strike them with the rod of rebuke, right? If he's done wrong, you have to tell him you've done wrong. Nowadays, we have this foolishness thing going on. We're saying that we can, you know, allow kids to be who they are, and we can't tell them what's right and wrong. I listened to, you know, an interview with a lady, a mother whose 9-year-old son wanted to make himself a female. When they interviewed her, they commended her, and they said, yes, when he was a young boy, he used to wear high heels and so on. What little kid doesn't wear high heels of his mom? They all do, right? But it's our responsibility as parents to teach them the appropriate gender identity. And this mom was boasting as if this was a good thing. This was actually her negligence led to this, not something to be commended, right? So yani this idea of do not judge, and because I'm a parent, I should let them, you know, do as they want and just support them financially. This is foolishness, right? So those who are placed in positions of responsibility are there for the purpose of judging and correcting. If our boss is at work, for example, they didn't tell us when we were doing wrong, the work would never flow. It would never work. The company would fail. If there's no one to correct the mistakes, then how could things, you know, be successful? Society doesn't work this way. Now, when it comes to determining what is right and wrong, yani we say, you know, do not judge. Also, the spiritual fathers, our spiritual guides. What does it say in the book of Ezekiel? It says, he's speaking here about the ministers or the priests. He says, yet if you warn the wicked and he does not turn from his wickedness nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. So he tells them, okay, if you don't warn and rebuke the wicked, then his blood is on your head. But if you warn him and he chooses to continue in his wickedness, he will die in his iniquity, and what? And your soul will be delivered. Because your responsibility is to warn, right? Your responsibility is to teach the commandment of God, right? So if a priest or if somebody doesn't do this, then he could be judged for this. God have mercy on me and all of those who are in a similar situation. So this goes for anybody who's in a position of responsibility, whether it be teachers, whether it be supervisors or managers, court judges, physicians over patients, and so on. Anybody in a position of authority are required to make the distinction and to judge things. The second thing that the scripture commands us to judge is to judge between what is good and what is evil. So I'd be able to identify what is good and what is evil. The Lord offers us some valuable advice for life, and he says, you will know them by their fruit. You will know them, you'll know the false prophets by their fruit. So he's saying, I need you to judge the fruit. If the fruit is good, the tree is good. If the fruit is bad, the tree is good? No, the tree is bad, right? So you have to judge them by their fruit. And it baffles me. Sometimes somebody will say, Abuna, I'm interested, you know, in this guy, or I'm interested in this girl. And, you know, they smoke, and they, you know, they have occasionally have some alcohol, and they have, you know, they maybe the way they dress isn't the best, but I love them. Okay, so you love them, but look at the fruit, right? What are you going to expect? Are you going to expect the saint? Or I'll say to somebody, where did you meet this person? I met them at the bar. Okay, tabhal, if I meet them at the bar, right? Is this the person who's really going to help you in your spiritual life? Again, consider the fruit, right? And St. Paul also tells us, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. So we're asked here what? To expose the works of darkness. So if I could look at the darkness and say, no, everything is good, everything is light, where will I go before this verse? How am I going to be able to identify what is darkness and what is light? So yes, my brethren, we are called as Christians to say, no, this is evil and this is good. This is wrong and this is right. It's not up to everybody to, you know, make up their own right and wrong. Who really could live like this? People say this just simply because they want to do what they want and they want their conscience to feel okay about it. But this is foolishness, and this will get into lead to pain and suffering. So lastly, what is the safe haven? How can I help myself to test all things in the right way? Number one is to be teachable. Be teachable. Like I said, never say that I know. Everything that you hear, take. Listen. Ask questions. The more questions I ask, the more experience I get from those who are around me, the better I can make a more educated decision. It's just like if a student is unsure about what to study. He goes and speaks with those people in the fields that he's considering, right, to gain their experience. He asks his parents, what do they think? Maybe he takes the opinion of his father of confession and so on, to get the most, you know, info to make the best decision. So number one is be teachable. Be teachable. Number two is frequent counsel. frequent counsel. There is wisdom in seeking counsel from other people. And number three is search the scriptures daily, as those people in Berea. Be a student of scripture, right? Many of us, you know, we struggle in reading scripture because for whatever reason we're busy or we say we don't understand, but try to be a student of scripture. Read it regardless of whether you understand or not. Reading and not understanding is better than not reading at all. Because if you don't read at all, you forfeit what you might understand. Right? At least something. I might get something. If I don't get any, I might get something. But if I don't read at all, then I won't even get that. Right? So be teachable, seek frequent counsel, and search the scripture daily. May the Lord give us the wisdom and the grace to test all things and to use the tools He has given us to test all things, to give us, to allow us to use our reason, the conscience that He's put within us, the scripture, history of our forefathers, and the counsel of those who care for our salvation. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.